This is The State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. If you're an aspiring culinary artist, there's plenty of TV to watch for inspiration, like Chopped, MasterChef, or The Great British Bake Off. But Nicole Byer's show Nailed It is gaining fast traction for turning this whole cooking competition premise on its head. Instead of dishing up gourmet and delectable treats, its featured bakers are inexperienced and often fail spectacularly.
Okay, let's see what you recreated.
Nailed it.
I think this is a Picasso. Picasso put ears where, you know, feet should be.
Yes.
This is art.
We gotta taste it.
That's a clip from the Netflix show Nailed It, which has 3 seasons available now and just received an Emmy nomination. Its host, Nicole Byer, is also a stand-up comedian and the host of the podcast Why Won't You Date Me? She has 5 stand-up comedy shows this weekend in Cary at Raleigh Improv. Those shows start tonight. And Nicole joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, congrats on the Emmy nomination.
Thank you.
So all sorts of people really clearly love Nailed It. Why do you think the show is resonating?
I think it's just like a very silly show where people feel like they have to be perfect every day of their life from like social media and whatnot. So I think the show just kind of like makes you feel like you don't need to be perfect and it's okay to fail.
Has it changed how you approach your own cooking?
No, I don't cook.
Okay, then. So how is hosting Nailed It different from your other roles as a stand-up or actor?
Well, I'm not normally reading a teleprompter when I'm doing stand-up or acting. I'm reading a prompter when I host. And then also it's just like very presentational. So it's different than acting because you're a character when you're acting. And it's like a first person narrative as opposed to like I'm narrating what people are doing.
I want to listen to a clip of some of your stand up now. This is from Comedians of the World, a 30-minute special on Netflix. Let's listen.
Ursula is a shape-shifting sea witch who chooses to be a fat, beautifully made up, incorrect octopus. She only has 6 tentacles. And she only turns into a thin white woman to go to where the people are. So maybe Ursula's not a villain. Maybe Ursula's just misunderstood. Maybe she took Ariel's voice to show her that having a voice is more important than looking like every other basic bitch. Maybe she's onto something.
Comedian Nicole Byer in Netflix Comedians of the World. She has 5 stand-up comedy shows this weekend in Cary at Raleigh Improv, and those shows start tonight. So I think I spat the drink that I was drinking when I heard that part of your special. Can you tell me a little bit of the backstory of that particular joke, how it came to you?
Sure. So that's not the whole joke. I couldn't tell the whole joke because Disney copyright stuff. So it came because I wrote a joke about women wearing Spanx and how I was like, you don't need to wear Spanx. Your body is like, I can't remember how I worded it because I don't really tell the joke anymore. But I'm like, your body is like bound up and it's just like poor, unfortunate soul. So tight, can't breathe. So I like sang that to the tune of Ursula's song. And as I was like thinking about it more and more, I was just like, wait a minute. So like, Ursula can literally look different. She's a shapeshifter. So like she could be the standard ideal of beauty, i.e. like Ariel or whatever, but then she chooses to be like fat. And then all of the mermaids that are the mer people that are in her like garden who she like did deals with, it's all based on like appearances and like wanting someone to love you and like wanting something you don't have. And I was like, maybe she's not a villain. Like, maybe she's trying to teach people that, like, what you have is okay and what you look like is okay.
Maybe but, she know, was the first like, body positivity advocate.
I mean, I don't think I'm body. I don't believe in body positivity. I think it's a wild thing. I just don't hate my body.
Oh, well, I'm saying like, maybe Ursula just, was.
No, I don't think she would be either. I think she's just, like, a fat woman who's like, this is what I look like and I like it.
Huh.
I'm okay with it.
Well, what's the difference between I like it and I'm okay with it and being a body positivity advocate to you?
I feel like people who are body positivity advocates are like on a crusade and I'm not on a crusade. I don't Like, I would love for you to love your body, but if you don't, that's your jam. That's you. You can do that. But me, like, I refuse to have a body where I'm, like, upset with it every day because I can change it. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I'm all about, like, if you want to exercise, exercise. If you don't, don't. Just, like, know that you made that choice. So, like, whatever choice you made, be happy with.
Well, in your 30-minute Netflix special, you did spend 13 of the 30 minutes talking about fatness. So talk about why you made that choice.
I spent maybe like 6 months trying to figure out how to tell fat jokes, because when you say I'm fat, people go, oh, no, no, you're not. You're beautiful. And I was like, I can be fat and I can be beautiful, because the two truly are not mutually exclusive. And then you implying that I'm not fat, I'm beautiful, is saying that you don't think a fat person can be beautiful. And I'm like, anybody is beautiful. Also, anybody is ugly. I'm ugly to a lot of people. I'm also beautiful to a lot of people. And like writing the jokes, I just like got so frustrated that I couldn't talk about something that you see. When you see me, you see a fat woman. And then when you get to know me, you're like, well, I don't see the fat. And I'm like, it doesn't mean it went away. So I spent so long writing them. I was like, I had more than 13 minutes. I had about like maybe 18 minutes of material. And I like whittled it down to my favorite jokes and was like, I want to put them all in my special because I've never seen anyone talk about being fat for 13 minutes, like cohesively with like different takes on it and like takes on what the world sees, what I see, whatever. So I was like, I want to do that. And then I don't want to do fat jokes anymore. You've seen it. If you want me to address what I look like, you've seen it in that special. So I was like, this allows me to like move on, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was pretty thoughtful with how I did my special.
I just watched the latest special with Aziz Ansari, and one of the things that really struck me is a comment that he made about being comfortable realizing that some of the stuff you might say now that's recorded and preserved in posterity online may not hold up when you look at it 2, 5, 10 years from now. Is that a part of a concern for you when you're writing and performing material now?
No. No, because if I said it, I thought it was funny. And then if someone is offended or like, you know, 10 years down the line, I'm like, you know what? I really shouldn't have been talking about that. That wasn't my business. I'm not going to apologize for it because I thought it was funny at the time. I will not tell the joke anymore. I'll say, you know what? I apologize that I offended people. I thought it was funny at the time. I no longer realize it's funny. And I want to move on from that comment. That's like 10 years ago, people 10 years ago don't represent people now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when people uncover old tweets of these people, I'm like, when you're 16, 17, you say a lot of bullshit that doesn't hold up when you're 32 years old or 33 or whatever. So I'm like, internet culture and the culture we're in where we like record everything, capture everything, it really lends a hand to like people feeling like they really can't make mistakes. And like mistakes make a person. Like if I didn't tell shitty jokes that offended people, I would never realize where the line was. And like comedians' jobs, I think, are to toe the line. And it's like, well, if you never find where the line is, how can you be, you know, provocative?
How do you stay true to what you think is funny? Because that must be hard when you're in this Twitter echo chamber and you're seeing how people are responding to your content all the time.
I guess I stay true to myself because I'm my own biggest fan. Like, I'm on vacation right now in Napa, and we're, like, on a party bus going from winery to winery, and I, like, said something on the bus. I don't remember what it was, but I, like, truly threw my head back and cackled harder than anybody else. I love me. I think I'm fun. I think I'm funny. I don't know. I like making myself giggle, so if I make someone else laugh, that's a bonus.
Well, that's a great segue to Drunk History, the episode that you were on just aired this month. Can you tell us about participating in that? I guess maybe start with, like, how do you come up with the topic? Did you get to choose what topic you covered?
So I had a meeting with Derek Waters, the creator of Drunk History, who's truly a lovely man. And he asked me if there was something in particular that I wanted to talk about. And I said, black people, black hair, black women. Because our stories, I don't think, get amplified enough. And that's what's interesting to me. I love learning about black women, especially like in entertainment, who have paved the way for me. And then they presented me with this Eartha Kitt story. And I was like, oh, shit, that's fucking wild. Like, that's so crazy that that happened. And then you, like, kind of, like, learn the facts and whatnot. And then you, like, start drinking. And they tape you, like, at different stages of drunkenness. But I think most of mine was filmed after I blacked out.
Are you serious?
I was so drunk.
How much did you drink over the period of that filming? Do you know?
Maybe 2 bottles of wine.
So were you floored when you saw what you had said?
No. It was pretty, like, within me. A lot of people ask me if I'm drunk when I'm fully sober. I'm a pretty goofy person.
Okay, I want to listen to a quick clip now so people who haven't watched it yet get a sense of what we're talking about. This is Nicole Byer on Drunk History.
And 6 years later, Eartha gets a call from Seymour Hersh. He's like, yo, girl, I don't know if you know this. And she was like, tell me. There's a whole dossier where people are talking shit about you. They're talking about your, like, sexual productivity. That's not a word. And she... Ooh, I tickled myself.
You're still cracking yourself up. That's Nicole Byer laughing at her own appearance on Comedy Central's Drunk History. She's performing 5 shows like this weekend.
When I say I'm my own biggest fan, I am my own biggest fan. Because also, like, I have ADD, so, like, I don't remember a lot of, like, I'm very forgetful. So, like, I say things and then fully forget about them. So then when I hear them again, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was funny.
So we don't endorse getting blackout drunk here on NPR, but how... How did you study up before filming? Like, what did you write out the monologue that you wanted to memorize and then memorize it?
No, they just gave me essentially like an outline of the things that happened. So then, like, I already knew a little bit about Eartha Kitt, so I just, like, not memorized it, but, like, I just knew the story enough to be like, oh, I can tell you this story, you know, sober or whatever.
Okay. So for people, I guess, that don't know what Drunk History is, it is a show on Comedy Central where comedians retell a particular true moment of history as they are getting intoxicated. And then they reenact portions, or actors reenact portions of that as they are telling it. We'll post some links to clips so you can find it. I want to move on now to your podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? And we'll start with a clip, and then we'll go into it. So this is a clip from the podcast. And just to set up the premise, Nicole interviews people that she has dated, her friends, others, and asks them the question, why won't you date me? So here's a conversation from Nick Snow, someone that she was dating for about a month or so.
So why won't I date you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah!
You know, it's the ultimate cliche, but it's just like, I feel like way more of a friend energy than a romantic energy.
Okay.
And,
okay.
It's one of those things where, oh God,
you literally can't hurt my feelings.
No, I'm not worried about that. I just, it's just, cause what we went on, what was it? Like 5 or 6 dates. We went and saw Dunkirk. I really was having a good time hanging out with you as friends. So, you know, I didn't want to put it to an end so quickly, but it's one of those things where to take it further than that, to take it just beyond getting along, I feel like there needs to be something more there that just, I don't know, just wasn't there.
Okay.
That's a clip of Nicole Byer on the podcast she hosts, Why Won't You Date Me? In that episode, she's talking to Nick Snow about friend zoning. She has 5 stand-up comedy shows this weekend in Cary at Raleigh Improv, and those shows start tonight. Have you learned any lessons from making this show from the question, or from the answers to that question of why won't you date me, that you've put back into your dating life?
Well, I started the podcast 2 years ago, and I truly started doing therapy maybe like 1.5 years ago. So, like, doing the podcast, also doing therapy, getting on ADD medication has helped my life immensely. And it's also helped my dating life immensely, because now I feel like worthy. Like, I feel worthy of someone's time and attention. And if someone's shitty to me, Or if someone goes, I don't want to date you, I don't go, but like, maybe if I try harder, you will. Now I'm like, okay, you said what you said. I have to live my life. I have to like be true to me. I have to treat myself well. I also learned that like I have walls up, but I think a lot of comedians have a lot of emotional walls. I think that's a thing we all have in common. So yeah, I've just learned to be a little bit more vulnerable.
Does it change how you approach the swiping process or going on dating apps at all?
I mean, it's just exhausting. It's so exhausting trying to find somebody on a dating site. I mean, no. I think reading someone's profile is not going to make me fall in love with them. Because I've gone out with people that I was, like, really excited to go out with based on their profile, and they were duds. And then there's people that I've, like, gone on dates with where I'm like, ugh, I don't even think you're worth it. And then I get there, and I'm like, ooh, you're very funny.
Well, you mentioned the emotional walls thing, and I'm curious, as there's this increased demand for confessional narratives, and we really want people to be vulnerable, and we want to know everything about the lives of comedians and actors. How do you decide what belongs in the routine and what you want to keep for yourself?
I mean, anything that really like makes me laugh in my private life, I'm like, I think that's pretty fair game. And then there's like things where like my feelings have been hurt, and then, you know, I'm like, that I could probably make funny, but I don't want to. Like, I was telling a joke about this dude I dated who hurt my feelings for a while. And I think that was therapeutic to like let people know that he hurt my feelings. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? I don't need to talk about him anymore. Now it's hurting my feelings talking about him. Hmm. So there's like ebbs and flows to things. But for the most part, I truly just like, there's just some things I don't talk about, and there's some things I do talk about.
As you go on big tours like this where you're performing sometimes multiple shows a night, how do you keep yourself from getting bored with your own content?
I don't write jokes out like top to bottom. I write like punchlines, and then I'll like talk out a premise on stage until it becomes like the joke and how I want it. So like working that way, since it's not like truly like memorized top to bottom, there's like room for improvising a little bit. And people love to talk to me during my shows. A lot of times I don't love it. I do not love being screamed nailed it at during shows, especially like at a punchline, because it throws off the rhythm of the show. But like sometimes somebody will say something that is actually like kind of funny, and then you like riff on it, and then it kind of gets built into the joke later. So yeah, I don't get bored because the audiences are so fresh and alive. Like, I really like, my crowds are so good. Like, I'm so thankful that the people who like me and listen and consume my stuff are the people that they are, because they're so wonderful. And they have this, like, vibrant energy. I sound, like, real hippy-dippy. But, like, I wouldn't be touring as much as I am if the people weren't as good as they are.
Well, there are people who are going to be listening to this who are going to come to your shows this weekend. Obviously, it's not great when people yell, nailed it, in the middle of a joke. But is there anything else you wish you could tell audiences who are coming to see you, things that you would love for them to do more of or less of?
I mean, I'm a very hearty giving laugher. So, like, when I go to comedy shows or, like, I see a friend up, I laugh generously. And then people will, like, stare at me sometimes because it's, like, a loud laugh. But I'm like, don't be self-conscious about your laugh. Like, have fun. I tell audiences up top what I don't like and what I do like.
See you laid out.
Yeah, I'm just like, please don't yell nailed it at me. Honestly, that's the only thing I don't like. Because, like, if you yell something else out, I have a mic. I've been touring pretty much uninterrupted since January. I've heard mostly all of it. I will have a better comeback than anything you said.
Well, that is not a challenge or an invitation to anyone listening. Please don't do it. Nicole Byer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Nicole is the host of the Emmy-nominated show Nailed It. She's featured in the Netflix series Comedians of the World. She also hosts the podcast Why Won't You Date Me? She'll be performing 5 shows this weekend, starting tonight at Raleigh Improv in Cary. And you can find the details for all of that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Student Health. Please stay with us.